Hello, I am Derek.
I am Allison. Sorry, I never pick up that's my cue.
That's okay. We're not looking at each other. The name of this podcast is called Symbolize This. On this podcast, we symbolize this and possibly that. This is episode two of the podcast, Symbolize This. We have had another podcast prior to this called Seeking Mount Parnassus. If you like that podcast, perhaps you'll like this, but I have no idea. I don't know who you are. It looks like there was one listener in Ankara, Turkey. There was another listener in Canada, another listener in Hawaii. There was 12 total, minus 2 equals 10. Thank you for listening. On this episode of the podcast, we're going to talk about, I have no idea because there's no script in any way. Are you used to listening to scripted television and audio performances? Are you used to being slapped with nonsense related to how you should think and how you should feel? Do you need music so that you know how you should feel? Enter sad piano. Then you'll know that you should be sad. Or maybe play like a screeching sound. Then you'll be scared. Or have a baby start laughing. Then you know you should start to feel heartfelt. Have a heartfelt emoji happening inside your mind. In this podcast, we don't do any of those things because we're trying to transcend mass media and popular culture because we have exited ourselves out of mass media and popular culture by just being ourselves. So hopefully you can understand what that means.
Yeah, I mean, even when things aren't scripted formally, they are still scripted because people follow the script. I mean, they will only say things that are allowed with the words that they're told to use and the concepts that have been pre-approved. So you never hear anything different anyways, even if ostensibly there's no script.
Pre-approved. I was not using a pop filter earlier. Now I am. So I wonder if the sound of pre-approval will have less of a sound. If you're listening on headphones, tell me if you like the sound. How about this?
Sounds good to me.
Can you make this sound with your mouth?
No.
If you're listening to this, I think you should try making the sound. Okay,
You're the master at that. There's
thank
very few people that can do it. I don't know what the deal is, but.
you. Just put your lips together and then make a little sound as if a bubble was going to pop.
Can't do it.
This is the only thing that this podcast is about. Symbolize that. Is this enough entertainment for you? How much entertainment do you want? Can you take this amount or do you need more amount? Maybe I should play a folk guitar. We'll play, start playing a folk guitar. I'll put on a flat-brimmed round hat. I'll not shave for 3 days and I'll wear a flannel shirt. Then I'll say things like ancestral rage. Then I'll say primal scream. Then I'll say
Trauma.
my trauma is traumatizing my way of being when I show up for myself.
When I'm holding space for you.
Are you holding space for yourself to show up to meet your childhood self?
In your, what did they say? Like something in your full authenticity or
Are you
something?
standing in your truth?
Oh, yes.
Symbolize that. Do you like to hear those types of things? Does it make you feel good? Will it make you feel better if I talk in a way that is trendy and stupid? I'm not sure. Maybe you would. If you're listening to this now, you probably wouldn't like it. Or if you do like that sort of thing, you have already turned this podcast off because you can't take it. It's too much.
Yeah.
It's too much for your propagandized brain to handle. But it's not too much for your soul. Mm-hmm. Your soul understands everything that I'm saying because your soul understands symbolism. And that's where we come in. We're symbologists. Allison and I are symbologists. We symbolize, we make sense of the symbolism of our lives mm-hmm. because that's really all that matters. Me waking up, doing shit during the day is not really that big of a deal. It's symbolic, mm-hmm. the things that I'm actually doing. Mm-hmm. Allison as well, and you as well, listening. Everything you do is symbolic as opposed to really happening because there is no really happening. It's not real. Nothing is really real. Mm-hmm. It's just a manifestation of consciousness. Your consciousness is something, but it's not materially hard like a table. It's a transcendent, etheric frequency that has never started and never will end. It's on the same tone as a tree or a leaf. But when you jam yourself into a human body, your consciousness, you have to, or at least you think that you have to participate in the rules of what it means to be a human in a human body, like gravity, time, etc. Mm-hmm. But that's not really the case. Your soul understands what's really going on, whether or not your conscious mind does or not. So the symbolism is what your soul really understands and is trying to make sense of by the things that you do day to day. And we're learning how to interpret those symbols and use them to further our lives on the path that we've chosen to be on.
Yeah, excellent explanation. I mean, the link to astrology is just that astrology is all symbols. That's all it is. It's also based on something that's actually happening in the sky and the stars, but the way that it's used as a system of wisdom and knowledge is through symbolism. Mm-hmm. There's a symbol for each planet, for each sign, then there's just the whole set of meanings that go along with each symbol, the archetypes, which are big, broad categories of similarly themed things that go with each symbol. So it's all just a language of symbolism, but it works because, like you're saying, that is the way that the soul is perceiving and experiencing your life anyway.
That's true. Here's an example. Today, when I say we, I mean Allison and I, went to the store. We went to Walmart. I'm not sure if you've heard of it. There's a store. There used to just be stores, but then they made this one store that sells everything inside of a big rectangle or square that's called Walmart. If you go there, you can buy a G-string or a clipboard or an 8-foot-wide television and some M&Ms and also some duct tape and a ceiling fan. You can buy all of these things in one spot. Then you could go get a stopwatch, and then you can turn two aisles down and buy a Rubik's Cube. This is the store that we went to. What is the point of what I'm saying? Is there some reason why we went to Walmart? What did that mean symbolically? Is it just a mundane thing that we did? We ran errands. That's what we did. Supposedly, that's something that is not that important, and it's a mundane experience. However, when we were driving back, Allison started to get all fucked up. Her body started to react. She started to change her mood. The energy shifted in the car. Suddenly, we're not just driving. We're in some mixed emotional state that is different than it was. And it was all triggered by Walmart and running errands.
Mm-hmm.
And Allison was able to figure out what was going on with her emotions based on the symbolic acts that we performed by going to Walmart and running errands. Oftentimes we don't realize what we're doing in our life. We think we're just doing things that we're choosing. But it turns out that a lot of the things we do in our life are symbolic acts meant to either help just to help us progress on the path, but we choose not to realize that at the in the moment. We mm-hmm. often it goes into our subconscious or mm-hmm. unconscious, and it gets reworked and played out. But we're discovering that you can just have this happen in real time and then move on, mm-hmm. as opposed to wasting or experiencing 20 years of misery. You could only experience maybe an hour of misery and then move on. Maybe you should just explain the symbolic reasoning behind the painful emotions of driving in a car on the way back from running errands.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because while you were talking, I was thinking about PTSD, and we had a woman earlier this week explaining the diagnostic list of symptoms for PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them has to do with these triggers, which is another word, God, that's way overused and become a ridiculous thing. But I think actually you could argue that trigger could be replaced with symbol, because that's what a trigger is. It's some sort of symbol to your psyche or your emotional state that is linking to something else. It's a symbol of something else.
Mm-hmm.
I think people over conceptualize it, or they overthink it, what a trigger is. Like, you shouldn't, what do I want to say? The reaction to a symbol that's connected to trauma is not within our control. It's not something we're thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
Or putting thoughts on, because I didn't even know it was happening. But then I know something's happening because you can feel it immediately because you have Mercury and Venus and Pisces. So
mm-hmm.
you feel the most subtle shift of energy before I even know that it's happening, because it's just gone into the subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
So then when we got home, I was able to sit down and do the process that I do with emotions and just tuning into what's going on, and I use muscle testing to just verify what I'm finding. But as I was sitting down to figure that out, suddenly all these flashes of memories were popping into my mind from my previous marriage and from all over the place. Like,
you had a previous marriage? I can't believe this.
I'm sorry to tell you.
Son of a bitch.
And it was linking to experiences I had grocery shopping or running errands. So it was like the feeling of trying to grocery shop, trying to run errands, when you know that when you go home, you're going to be faced with some different type of torture or abuse, or your partner will have left while you're gone with no word of when they're coming back or what.
Mm.
Or you're going to go buy a bunch of groceries and then they're going to refuse to eat anything you cook for the next 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Or criticize how much money you spent. Or
Even though they don't have a job and haven't had one for 10 years.
At least 10 years. It was all linked to this shopping, and then feeling like being in public shopping and having this awareness that even though I'm out in the world and to other people I look like a normal person, I know internally that I'm a prisoner and I'm not really free. I'm not really out in the world being free. I'm like temporarily released to do a particular thing within very limited strictures, and then I'm going to go back to prison afterwards. So there's never really a feeling of being free. And then I would just always be shopping and doing errands in this really fucked up state of anxiety, fear, anger, whatever. And that's not at all how I was feeling today with you, but
she means me, not you listening.
That's right. My beautiful love, Derek. I didn't know that that's what was happening, but that's the what's happening is symbolic. It's going in to the soul. Your psyche is putting these things together on a deep emotional level and really bringing them to the surface so that they can just be healed and let go of. And we've found too that they don't tend to do that until, I mean, it's not even a tend. They can't do that until it's safe to do that or until it's time because that circumstance is gone. You know, once it's completely gone and there's no chance of that ever happening again, you can let go of what you've been carrying from that experience. So this is how our lives are every single day.
Did you think that you were just going to go to the store and just buy shit and come home with no problems? You're wrong. I don't know who you think you are trying to go to the store and just have a good time and come back. That's never going to happen. It can happen. I'm just exaggerating because what we have discovered is that anything we do could be a possible excuse for our previous way of being to expose itself so that we can deal with it in the present moment. We weren't able to do that in our previous lives because of fear, I guess, or we weren't ready. It wasn't time. But now it's time, and we're unable to stop the feeling and the emotions from popping out. And when they pop out, it's easier to just deal with it and right away, immediately, as opposed to like just waiting. Oh, it's not a good time to bring up. This is wrong. Maybe I shouldn't say this right now because it's going to ruin the moment. Or, well, maybe I'll just put it off till next week when things are doing better. We found that if you try to do that, never, it just doesn't come back up. You've suppressed it. Now you're fucked. Now you have a, I hurt when you touch me complex. Or, every time you say something, it causes you to feel fucked up complex because of something that you didn't say when you should have said the thing when it was supposed to be happening at that moment.
Yeah, and I think the tricky part is about symbolism because often you're just not aware of it. And if you're, and then if you're only looking at the surface level of things or the literal meanings of everything, you'll never figure it out. I mean, this one was actually for us, that's fairly literal. I had a memory, or I was having some sort of traumatic memory release, a pain release from the actual act of grocery shopping and running errands. That's pretty direct. Sometimes the symbolism is a lot more complicated. It's more like a complex poem than like a child's poem that's going to be more literal. Remember that poem that Celia wrote about Toshi?
Oh, yeah, that was a good
We
one.
should find that. It was so cute. It was like, Toshi's nose is black. Toshi wags his tail. This is Toshi. You know, it was very cute, and but it was very literal in terms of what you can see about Toshi, whereas some of the more advanced poets like you, my dear, you don't know. There's symbolism going on. You read the poem. That's why you can't, if you're a literal thinker and reader, you can't read poetry. You'll never understand it because it's not literal and it can't be read that way. And our lives are the same way. They're just not literal. They're symbolic on many levels. And if it, you can't find it anywhere in your current circumstances or in your memory bank of this lifetime's experiences, then it's coming from a past life, which we do quite a bit. Or you might even be picking up emotions or energies from another person, an animal, a place, a ghost, the land, the river. So taking it too literally just doesn't work. I mean, think of all the experiences we've had where we've gone places and then we've come home and we feel all fucked up and we don't know why. And then it's something way removed from what we thought. Like we have to make a number of leaps to link it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it works.
Yeah. What is symbolism? I don't understand.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Do you understand? Do you know what symbolism means?
Do I?
Yeah.
Let's think about it. I mean, I think obviously a symbol is a representation of something else. So all words, language is symbolism because the word itself has no meaning, which you can find out easily by just repeating a word over and over again. And then suddenly being
door,
like...
Door, 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 door.
Exactly. And you're like, this is a ridiculous sound.
Did you mean D-O-A-R? Or D-O-O-R? D-O-R-E?
D-O-R-E.
What does that mean, you idiot?
So symbols are the language of the soul. It's the language of dreams. It's the way that the spiritual realm works and the magical world. They all work in symbols. They don't work directly in rational. I think the word rational has also gotten a bad rep because often I feel like the way symbolism works is supremely rational.
Mm-hmm.
My psyche linked running errands with running errands. That's a pretty rational link. Mm-hmm. But it just, rational has come to mean the current trend of science and all of that. And it's just not what it means. It makes sense. Something makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's rational. Even if it's not scientific, according to that definition.
Mm-hmm.
What was my point? So just that the way that the soul communicates, I think is, it's like super rational or something. Supra rational. I've ever seen that word.
That sounds like something Nietzsche would say.
Yeah. Like it transcends rationalism in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So a symbol is something that means something else, or it's a way of holding meaning in an object or a picture or a word or a sound or something. It's like a way of holding a more complex meaning mm-hmm. than is really possible to
convey.
Yeah.
With words or with any other method.
Yeah.
Like a totem pole
yeah.
is symbolic. It's like seven animals stacked up on top of each other. What is that supposed to mean? So if I look at a totem pole and I see a frog, a wolf, a cat, a bat, a lizard, and a owl all stacked up on top of each other, does that mean I should go look for each one of these animals, assemble them all together, tie them together with string,
stack them on top of each other,
carry them around with me everywhere I go, and then I'll understand the meaning of life? No, that's not what a totem pole means. It's symbolic. Owl is symbolic of death and deep emotional states and seeing far and nocturnal things.
Mm-hmm.
A lizard is symbolic of cold-blooded, rational, scientific, I'll kill you, motherfucker, type of thinking. And when you look at all seven of those animals at once, you're being blasted with symbolism that's going so deep down into your soul that you can't even come back out with anything that is rational to anyone other than just taking it in, soaking it in. If you're walking on a path in the woods and you pass two totem poles that have enough space to walk through the totem poles, and on the top of each totem pole is a devil's head with horns on it.
Hmm.
What would you do? Would you keep walking or would you stop and look at the totem poles and see that the devil's head is on the top of each of these poles? If it was me walking in the woods and I see these two totem poles that look to be the entrance to something with the devil's head on them, I would stop and say, I'm not sure if I want to proceed on this path. The totem poles don't have to have a sign on it that says, do not enter. It's obvious that you should not enter this spot based on the symbolism of this totem pole. But if you do trespass into this realm that's guarded by these totem poles and you get taken prisoner and put into a cage for the next 7 years and poked with hot irons, you shouldn't be surprised that that happened to you. And you may want to think about symbolism a little bit more in your daily life, because that's how it works. That's what symbolism is doing. And it's not as black and white as that in our modern world, but I think it actually is. It's just, it's been hidden from human consciousness for many periods of time, that it makes it confusing, but the symbolism is still there everywhere you look. I mean, just look at the TV, Fox News. You know, what is Fox? A fox, like the animal. What is the symbolism of a fox? You know,
mischievous.
Mischievous, cunning, sneaky, secret. That's the name of a news organization. I mean, that seems suspect. Saturn. I'm going to drive today in my car, my Saturn. You know, what does that mean? They picked the name of one of the most malefic planets there is. They chose, why didn't they choose Venus? I'd love to ride in my Venus today. Yeah. No, they chose Saturn, the darkest planet that they could find before they discovered Pluto. They don't want to put you in a Pluto and drive around because that would be a little bit too obvious. But for some reason, Saturn is not too bad. But hey, son, would you like to go get some ice cream? I'll pick you up in my Saturn later. Like, no, I don't want to be picked up in a Saturn. Saturn sounds like you're going to take me to a death camp. I prefer if you pick me up in your Venus, maybe in your Mercury.
Yeah.
Mercury would be okay. Or like in your Jupiter. I would love to get picked up in your Jupiter.
Yeah.
That sounds like something good might happen.
Sun, moon.
Yeah.
It all work.
So this is symbolism. This is symbolism in action, you know, and it can help you to learn how you should proceed in your daily life that may not be obvious to your conscious mind, but it's obvious to your soul and to the people that are naming these things. They're naming things for a reason. They didn't come up with Saturn out of the blue. They picked it. You know, Fox News didn't figure out, you know, they chose that name. It wasn't forced on them. They chose the name Fox News. These companies pick things purposely as symbolic gestures to go where they want things to go. And the better and quicker you understand that information, that fact, the quicker you'll understand how you should live as a human on Earth at this moment right now.
Yeah, it's really interesting because it's like symbolism has been completely co-opted.
Yeah.
Symbolism is good and fine if you're an advertiser, if you're a marketing professional. They want people that are experts at symbolism. Look at Nike here. There's a million of them. They know about symbolism. You really helped me understand this because you did all that conspiracy research and have read 1984 so many times. You've got it memorized. That there is a deliberate way that they're using the symbols.
Correct.
Nothing that comes through mass media is an accident, is what you're saying.
No.
Which is true. It's all crafted in a very particular, speaking of malefic, you know, a malevolent way, really, to manipulate people. And it works massively so.
Right.
So if you're an advertising professional, you're a symbologist, but you're just working for the dark side of it, most likely.
Most likely.
You know, maybe not, but just generally in terms of the machine or working for the man in the mainstream way, it's not going to be good what they're doing with it. And at the very least, even if, say, you're marketing some product that you want to argue is beneficial to people or is a good thing for the world,
mm-hmm.
still you're participating in a system that has systematically removed the power to understand symbolism from the conscious awareness of humans,
mm-hmm.
particularly in the Western civilizations, and taken it completely into the world of capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only place it's allowed to be. If you talk about symbolism with astrology, you're fucking nuts. I mean, what's wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
Astrology is not real. It's symbolism. So why do advertisers get to use the symbols, but we can't read them ourselves? It's the same thing the church did with the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
That, oh, well, we at the church are the only ones that can interpret the Bible. So you can't read it. We'll tell you what it means and what to do. That's exactly what's happened with symbolism at this point.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. It's not as serious as it might sound because we're on the precipice mm-hmm. of the dawn of realization.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this right now, you may have already realized this whole scheme that mm-hmm. we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You may have already known that you shouldn't eat at McDonald's. You know, you may have already learned that the news isn't telling you the things that are important that mm-hmm. you should know. And because the energy is happening with that's unstoppable, it's going to be possible soon for everyone to be more capable of understanding symbolism mm-hmm. and how to use it. But it's not going to be with any instructions. I think the instructions are coming to your soul, and you have to utilize them symbolically in order to receive the energy properly. For some reason, this keeps popping into my mind, but today we're at the market, the farmer's market. How is it possible right now for a mass amount of women age 18 to 40 to be wearing high-waisted jeans with Doc Marten boots and OD Green beanie as if it's 1992? How is it possible that everywhere we go, the woman at the restaurant who is seating us is wearing the same outfit as the lady at the farmer's market?
Mm-hmm.
How? This not a magic trick, you know. It's happening because of mass media and symbolism and marketing. And it's happening on a massive level, so much so that it's unconsciously invaded the closets of people's homes. But the point is that I think that the energy that's coming, I'm talking about Pluto and Aquarius,
mm-hmm.
the energy that's coming will be something that will help to shake loose some of that information that used to be more easy to spread. I think people will possibly, if they allow themselves to be open to the energy, be able to see through some things that they haven't been able to see through in a long time. And I think it is going to happen, and it is happening. It just hasn't happened in mass
mm-hmm.
because nothing happens in mass immediately. It takes 10 years sometimes before everyone is doing the thing that no one used to do before,
mm-hmm.
that will be the case at some point. It just hasn't fully happened yet.
Yeah, I think the element of Aquarius is necessary to be able to question what we're told.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really the first step of awareness, is questioning these things,
mm-hmm.
that no one is questioning that much right now.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to start just stepping outside of what's going on to have a little bit of a different perspective. And then the more you remove yourself, the clearer it becomes, and you start to really see it. I remember when we both were on Instagram for a really brief period of time, less than a year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was involved actually in how we found each other, ironically enough.
Yes.
And we were living in the same small town.
Mm-hmm.
But then we both went off of there and didn't go back. And it was funny to see how quickly we started noticing when we would be talking to people that they were all saying the same things, same phrases, same clothes, same issues that they're concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can really start to see how it's influencing people, because we were no longer in it and we weren't being exposed to it in any way. I mean, we were both pretty critical of it when we were trying to be in it.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't work on us, but it was too late. We had made it too long in our lives as free thinkers,
right,
for it to work. What was my point? I don't know. Oh, Aquarius. But then I was thinking also that, so Pluto went into Aquarius.
Yes.
Last week. We'll stay there for 20 years. But then this spring, Neptune and Saturn both go from Pisces into Aries. And I think the other element that's really necessary is courage.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, Aquarius is good at questioning things, but to actually be able to go against a massive force of conformity and pressure that you don't even realize you're in takes a really huge amount of courage.
Do you remember, listener and Allison, do you remember the years? There was this one year, it was 2020. In March and April of 2020, there was this thing that suddenly happened on Earth, and it consumed the mass consciousness of the Earth, and it forced everyone who was living on the Earth, especially in the United States, to suddenly be different and act different and do different things than they were doing even 1 month prior to that time.
Mm-hmm.
This is possible. It seems unbelievable that an entire group of humans on Earth can completely change consciousness suddenly based on information from the governments of the world. But it's possible. And if you recall, how did you respond to that information of the world that you know, one day you go to a store, then the next day they say the store's closed, then the store reopens and they say, in order to come inside the store, you have to put a piece of cloth over your mouth hole or else you can't go inside the store. And then if you do go inside the store and you have a piece of cloth over your mouth area, you can do it, but you can only stand within 6 feet of the other person. And they even put a little picture on the ground, a sticker on the ground, so you wouldn't forget. Stand right here, little friend, and do exactly what we say, or else you're going to be ejected,
mm-hmm.
from the mass consciousness, mm-hmm. of the Earth. Do you recall what you did personally during this time frame? How did you react? Did you listen to what they had to say? Did you succumb to the slippery slope,
mm.
of fear? Did you take the advice of the people on the TV saying that you should do this or do that? Or did you think about what you should do yourself, analyze that information, judge it based on reality, and then make a decision based on your own awareness?
Mm-hmm.
Those are two different groups, and the groups are still alive, some on the earth right now, and we all are going to have to reconcile, I think, the dissonance between the possibility of those two things. I think there was some point of why I was saying this, but I'm not sure what it is now. But I think it has to do with the
courage.
Courage. Courage and Aquarius, because the courage it takes to stand on the opposite side of a line when there's 10 million people standing in line is extremely difficult to perform.
Yeah.
When everyone says, do this, and if you don't, you get ejected out of society, most people choose to do what they say, even if it means turn in Jews to be executed.
Yeah.
I mean, the entire German population, not the entire, but the majority of the German population during World War II looked the other way during the whole lead up to Auschwitz. I mean, from 1933 until 1939 and the invasion of Poland and et cetera, Germans mostly just looked the other way while Jews were being systematically ejected out of society. That's freaky to imagine that could be possible, that people would agree to not do anything in mass. But it keeps happening over and over and over and over again in society and mass culture. And I think with this time of Pluto entering Aquarius, that we're going to have to reconcile that information and do something else with it this time, as opposed to the dark side of all, you know, why do we always have to choose the dark side of things? Maybe we should just pick, okay, life was difficult. We did difficult things, but this time we're going to choose to wake up to the authority of our souls and move forward together peacefully without having to subjugate anyone.
Right. Yeah. I always wondered about that when I was a kid, because I was raised Jewish, so I can't even remember not knowing about the Holocaust. So at some point, obviously, I was told about it way younger than I could understand it. I read, obviously, The Diary of Anne Frank. I think I read it in second grade. And then my mom was always giving me these books that were stories of girls that had survived the Holocaust. And I remember reading these stories, which were just really horrific for a child. There was one, I feel like the protagonist's name was some version of Alicia or something. But her parents were shot and killed in front of her, and then she escaped, and it was just one thing after another.
Yeah.
And I was a kid going, what the fuck is going on? I obviously had a deep soul memory of these things and a lot of grief about them. And the thing that you just said, I just could never understand. I don't understand how did so many people go along with this? It did not make sense to me. And now I do understand why. And I understand how, because I've seen it in my own lifetime and just the way things work, of how people do go along and how much they go along to the point of not even recognizing that that's what they're doing, because they're so completely engrossed in the reality that has been manufactured for them, that whatever justification has been given to them for the actions that are occurring, they buy it.
That's too bad. I wish they would buy something else, like a Butterfinger or something good, you know.
Butterfinger.
I don't know why they have to buy genocide every time. Can we pick like Coke instead of genocide?
Coke's doing pretty good. I think there's a lot of buying Coke.
I mean, do we really have to get the blood diamonds or get the copper out of some mine that is going to require shitloads of people to be enslaved? Do we really need all these things? Can't we just choose like something positive?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the truth is that if the consciousness becomes free, and if we are able to get out of the prisons of all of the stuff, if we are able to deprogram ourselves, undo the brainwashing, and learn how to be living our own true nature, what then comes out is good. It's loving.
That's true, yeah.
And for most, I think for most people,
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure what's going on the earth at this point. We've talked about many times. Is there a demon that has invaded human life, and half the humans we interact with are actually demons, and we don't know? But any real humans, that's what should come out, is if people actually are allowed to use their own faculties of what feels right, even that, the right things will happen. But because they've been trained so much to override their own evaluation of what feels right, anything is possible from there on
That's
the
true.
dark side, which is true on an individual level too. I've been thinking about this topic quite a bit off and on the last 2 years, because I was in an abusive marriage for 20 years, and the primary method of abuse was brainwashing, psychological abuse.
Oh, yeah.
There were other kinds regularly as well, but that was the main one, and that was what made it work and what trapped me, because my thinking got really distorted. And even though I would often feel, like you were saying, the dissonance, which I think is a good word for it, between reality and what's happening, I didn't have enough strength or support or anything to fully conquer it, really, until I met you.
Oh
I
my
mean,
God.
I was building up to it, but because you're so free, it allowed me to become free. And then the truth was just obvious at that point, at that, oh, this is not real, and I need to get the hell out of this immediately. I don't know what I've been doing for 20 years, which is also just the karma. But maybe that's, I mean, that's part of what karma is karma obscures our ability to correctly perceive
Oh, right, yeah. Duh.
what's going on, I guess.
I forgot about karma and the whole thing.
That old thing.
Yeah, I think the karma. If you plant seeds, they ripen. The end. That's karma. So at some point in a previous lifetime, for everyone that's alive, whatever amount of seeds they planted in whatever arena, they're gonna turn into something. And that's just how it is. So if you're trapped right now in an abusive marriage, that's how it is. It's probably very difficult to even see that you are in one.
Yeah, it is.
You can feel that there's something wrong, but you don't know what exactly it is until it's time to know what it is. And then you can do something about it, but not until then. And that's just how it is. I think that the quicker we understand that, the quicker we can move on as well and just let the chips fall as they may. But the only way for that to happen is to start from this moment right now and plant seeds that are going to ripen into something that you want to eat. You know, I don't want to plant seeds that I don't want to eat, you know, bad seeds. I want to plant Butterfinger seeds so that when I'm hungry and it's 75 lifetimes, I get to eat a Butterfinger. I don't have to eat like a dried apricot.
You like dried apricots?
I know, but if I got a Butterfinger and a dried apricot, I'm picking the Butterfinger most likely.
Yeah, or even then planting seeds of awake consciousness, awareness, or of trying to understand things. I was doing that. I did that for the full time of the marriage. I was also studying Buddhism very seriously and practicing and spending a lot of time with all these different teachers and really trying to understand that path, and then also understand symbolism and mythology and philosophy and all these other things. So maybe I was just planting the seeds for a more informed consciousness mm-hmm. that then obviously ripened. I always thought of it more as like, I had to do that because of all the Sagittarius planets in my chart and past lives doing it. So I had to do it again, which those things are true as well. Mm-hmm. But I like what you're saying because it gives a little bit more freedom to our choices of if we want, I mean, you've said it, sometimes we forget about it. Mm-hmm. If we want a certain future, then what we're doing right now is creating our future. Mm-hmm. And while it may be that there's a lot of pain and suffering from the past that has to be cleared out, at the same time, we are planting the seeds for the future, which is symbolism as well. Symbolism is extremely powerful mm-hmm. in planting seeds. So it can go good or bad, like you're saying. But we've done so many symbolic things to get our lives to the point that they're at now, or even things that haven't ripened yet that we know we have been planting. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's just a good empowering message of like, all right, yeah, you've got your karma, you're trapped, but everything you're doing right now is also going to plant a seed. And if you think of it symbolically, I think that it's also another way to do things that you can build up your courage. So you may not have the courage to leave the abusive marriage immediately. I didn't. Mm-hmm. But I did a lot of other things over time that were symbolic to my soul of courage, of my dedication to my own well-being. I trained as a boxer while I was in the abusive marriage for 5 years, seriously, and I've continued doing it for fun. Mm-hmm. But I trained as a fighter. I mean, I got in the ring, literally in the ring, to face my fears and be punched in the face. And I did it over and over again, mm-hmm. not to the point of excessive injury, you know.
You didn't turn Muhammad Ali. But
no, I wasn't Mike Tyson fighting at 58. I mean, I think I was 34 when I started. So that was a symbolic act, but it still worked. Mm-hmm. It still built the courage that I needed to then face the massive amount of fear that was involved in leaving the marriage. Mm-hmm. And also, spiritually speaking, facing demons, inner demons. So, in other words, if you don't feel ready to take the big act that you know you need to take, you could come up with something symbolic that you can do with that intention. And I think it will work. Don't you agree?
Yeah, it will. I mean, that's the point of symbolism. If you are trapped in what you think that you're trapped in, all you have to do is be yourself and do what you love.
Yeah.
And you're symbolically telling yourself that that matters, and that seed will mm-hmm. ripen mm-hmm. no matter what happens. You, if you don't like your life right now, but you plant a seed of doing what you love today, even if it's only for 1 hour, mm-hmm. that seed is going to ripen in 5 years or 1 month. Who knows how long it will take, but there's no doubt that it will ripen. Mm-hmm. And then that will build, you can build a house on that over time, but you can't build a house on doing the opposite of your soul's journey and then expecting to have a house to live in. In the future, you're going to have a box to live in that you hate. You have to build a house that you want to live in for the future by doing what you love today, right now, in this moment. Mm-hmm. And then you, in the future, you'll have a beautiful house with a perfect spouse and hundreds of millions of dollars and et cetera. But the only way for that to happen is if you take the action right now in the moment today, and even if it's only one thing that's mm-hmm. minor, mm-hmm. It has a lot of symbolic power.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the reasons why I got so many tattoos. I felt trapped in life, but I felt that if I tattooed things onto my body and I could look at them, that I would be free because I could see them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I got tattooed on me, I think it was my second tattoo. It's just Latin that says, remember death, live while you can. That was my second tattoo when I was 19, I think, when I got it. And symbolically, that has turned out to be true. I remember death and I live while I can every single second of the day. Mm-hmm. And I have been doing that consistently for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the little things that add up to the good things. It's the bad things that add up to terrible things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do one fucked up thing that you know is wrong, you're going to pay the piper.
Right.
But if you do one good thing that is symbolically positive for your own soul, it's something you can build on. It's like 1 2x6. But if you like tell one lie that you know is wrong, you're like framing the whole foundation of shit to turn into in the future. I think there's something up with that. You know, I don't know exactly how it works, but I think it's something like that.
Yeah, it's definitely something like that. And I think the other thing that people get confused about is timing and the karmic momentum. I mean, we met 2 years ago and we knew immediately that it's our destiny to move to New Mexico.
Yes.
You're from New Mexico. You were born here.
Mm-hmm.
You had wanted to move back here.
Yes.
I had never been here and had never met anyone from here.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew for at least 3 years before I met you that I'm supposed to move to New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So we got together and we're all right, we got to move to New Mexico, obviously. This is what we need to do. But we didn't know what to do and how to do it. It seemed impossible. And I think that's where people often just stop and they get stuck. Like there's only the literal path. Do we have enough money? No. Are we going to be able to afford a property in New Mexico? No. Where to go? I mean, there were so many problems and obstacles, including that I was married to someone else and I had a house. I mean, there were all kinds of things. If we had just said, there's no way to do this, which is what people always say. If you say to someone, you've got to do what you love, people will respond with a lot of excuses. Well, I wish I could do. Must be nice.
Yeah.
Must be nice that you can do that. But I can't do that because they don't understand this, what we're talking about of the symbolic realm. And I mean, it's the same as the magical world. The magical world is a symbolic place. And we just started doing things that we knew were going to be the right future vibration. I mean, you're talking about tattoos. We got Zia tattoos together. I got a tattoo of a bald eagle flying, covering over a tattoo that had been tied to my ex-husband. I mean, it's completely symbolic of letting go of the past, freedom, etc. But it took a while. It took a while after that to figure out what to do next. But it was like each action that has some symbolic resonance moved us forward. And you have to just keep going in that way and let the old stuff burn out. And then eventually the new stuff starts to ripen. I mean, it seems really obvious if you think of it in terms of planting seeds in the ground. If you plant a seed in the ground, it's not instantly fruit.
No.
And it, depending on what it is, it could take a long time. If it's a tree,
it could take 100 years before it produces a sweet fruit.
Right. So yeah, I think that's where symbolism actually is a door to freedom and empowerment and the ability to have the lives that we want if we understand that, and particularly understand some of these basic things of how important it is to the soul that we are being ourselves and that we're doing what we love in some way. because those are the only things that the soul cares about. The soul doesn't care about all of the things they tell you to care about. Money is not real. Jobs, mortgages, particularly what other people think. I think that's the most powerful one. It's the group force that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the soul, that is not what the soul is here to do. It has its own path and purpose. So I think that that's what be yourself is, right?
Yeah.
To be able to withstand that pressure.
Can you withstand the pressure? Can you plant a seed? Can you do what you love? Can you get out of the abusive marriage? Can you quit the job? Can you move to the place you really want to go? Can you look at yourself in the mirror and love what you see? Can you eat a Butterfinger? If you can, then this podcast is for you.